Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Starting a new friendship or a new relationship can be one of the most exciting experiences. Sometimes you don't even know that it is happening, but suddenly you realize what has been forming. You start off discovering what it is that you have in common. Reading, quilting, running, politics, religion, sports, values. Conversations continue, and they build over time. And over time, you become more and more comfortable with each other. You then enjoy each other's company and look forward to those moments when you get to spend more time together, again and again. Starting or making a new friendship is often quite easy. Then the hiccups come. What you thought you knew to be true is rattled, maybe just a bit. The other person may not be who you thought they were. But you are friends, so you make up your mind to put that little hiccup aside and move forward. But not totally. The hiccup happens again. And another one like it. Now the hiccups in the friendship are happening more and more. And they're not just hiccups anymore. They're more like rumbles, maybe even earthquakes. But is it all in your head? Are you blowing things way out of proportion? Or is this serious? Does your friendship need an honest re-evaluation? Do you even remember what first caused that little bit of doubt? Or is it all a blur? Jesus' disciples found themselves in the very same predicament. Many had transitioned fairly smoothly from following John the Baptizer to following Jesus. And the perks of being Jesus' disciple were off the charts. Who wouldn't love following after a guy who could transform water into wine? Send demons running for the hills, and give enough food to stuff the belly of thousands from the startup of one humble lunch. How could you not like listening to Jesus talk about the wonders of God's kingdom, the unlimited love and forgiveness that the Father has for all people? And the word of God, as though he had written it. And why would you not revel in being one of his chosen ones, hand-picked, who got to see him walk on a stormy sea as though it were a paved road, to hear him speak a dead man to life, to walk next to him as he entered into Jerusalem, like he owned the place? Being friends with Jesus had been easy. But there had been hiccups along the way. Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ, but was then called Satan by that same Jesus for rebuking Jesus for saying he must go to Jerusalem and die. Jesus had informed the multitude of crowds that they could only have eternal life with God if they ate his flesh and drank his blood. That was an earthquake for many of Jesus' followers, one that separated them from him. And there they were, The celebration of the Passover having been completed there in the upper room. With anxiety and fear written all over their faces. Jesus had just told them that he would not leave them as orphans. But that meant he would be leaving them. He must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the religious leaders, and even die. The hiccups were there. But would they become too big for the disciples of Jesus? Would those doubts win over the day and drive them all to despair, fleeing for their own lives, driving them away from Jesus? Always knowing the minds of his followers and always seeking to draw them to him, Jesus kept speaking to them the words from the great upper room discourse. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Being fully human, Jesus knew what it was like to wrestle with the temptations to doubt God's word, feeling the torturous pains of hunger caused by 40 days of fasting. Jesus, no doubt, knew how easy it would be for man to forsake God's promises to take care of himself first. No matter what Jesus faced, God's word remained. It was unchanged. The Father's promises to his Son of Man did not change based on any circumstances. Jesus clung to this truth in the face of the devil, and he continued in the love of the Father as a result. But could the disciples do the same? Could they look past the hiccups of their faith and continue to cling to the promises of Jesus, who is still there with them? Could you? Have you? You no doubt remember the joys that you felt in your heart when your eyes were first opened to the greatness of the gospel of Jesus, to which you were baptized. You recall that feeling of the burden of your sins being hoisted up off of your drooping soul shoulders. How wondrous it was to know that Jesus had truly done it all for you. You have had those hiccups too. There have been those moments that have challenged this great relationship that you have with God. The sudden or tragic death of a parent, a child, a spouse. Being attacked in a theft or an assault. Watching a parent, a sibling, a friend fall away from the church. Is God still in control? Does his word remain true? Did he really let this happen? Have these hiccups become earthquakes for you? Have these momentary tribulations had permanent consequences? Are you questioning God's word of promise to you? Does he still love you and care for you? If so, These questions are yours. And Jesus' words are there for you too. Abide in my love. No matter what has happened, no matter what will happen, abide in Jesus' love. For he has placed that love on you in baptism. He has preached that love into you through the great words of absolution. And he has fed that love to you in the Lord's Supper. Abiding in that love, remaining in that love, means pressing on in those very same means of grace, even in those moments of doubt and despair. Abide in the Word. Abide in your baptism. Abide in the Lord's Supper. Abide in Jesus' love. In the beginning, God created a perfect and holy universe. All in creation was very good because it was God's creation. Yet the pinnacle of that creation, man, turned on God. In the face of one lowly temptation, mankind fled the word of God like the plague, clung to his own understanding. What then? This was no hiccup. This sin broke man away from God. And in his justice, God could have justly punished Adam and Eve for all eternity. Or in his mercy, God could save them from their sin. Lose them or love them? One letter difference. In English, anyway. God chose to love them, to save them, to send them the Savior, his only Son. And in that death of those disciples' master and their friend, God showed his love for all his creation. That is the love God has given to us in Jesus. That is the love in which you abide. One letter has changed everything. God chose to love us, not to lose us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus. Amen.